Honorable Ravi Karunanayake, you have 20 minutes. Order, please. Deputy Minister, Deputy Speaker will come to the chair.
Please continue.
Thank you, Deputy Speaker. Let me make one clarification. The selection committee will be after this meeting or?
They're going to start in a little while, I was told.
So there won't be any representation from opposition because the meeting was 5 brought to 6. So if that can be postponed for 6:15, I did appreciate. We all changed it 3 times.
Understand. He's already left for the place. We will.
But there won't be any representation in opposition there.
We'll bring it to his notice, sir.
Honorable Deputy Speaker, I also get up in the same way of adding on to the suggestions that were given before. I don't think we need to labor it all over again because it was spoken before. But all I could basically say is a suicidal text that has been brought in. There's nice words don't mean anything if the ultimate objective is to earn revenue. Now, if I may take from where the Deputy Minister mentioned, now if you're an accountant or you're a logistical service provider that is giving consultancy outside, if you're a doctor, if you're an engineer, who is contracting your knowledgeable services outside the country, previously was charged under 15 CCC, and you gave exemption. And why the exemption? Because your knowledge is imparted outside the country for services not rendered in the country, so there was a fillip given to bring the monies into the country. But what does this suicidal attempt do? Justification is nothing when you have basically said you are going to do very much more and did nothing. So the moral obligation of able to walk the talk is far more greater than trying to bring something and say now it's justified across the board. In that case, you might be charging 45% across the board for everybody instead of saying 15% of one lot, 45% for another lot. So that doesn't stand for justification when you got to say, I am only looking at it from a country perspective. I'm saying what is good for the country and what is irrelevant for the country. You should not allow the IMF coming and telling here, you have got to do this. All they have got to do, they have done good service. As I said, country when it's in bankruptcy, in order to get it out of that, you need the IMF. But that doesn't mean that it's a panacea for all ills. Let them be guiding force, not the ruling force. You have been elected to govern on the basis of what has been mandated by the government, by the Sri Lankans. Now, why I differ here? While here it is a situation when you are trying to go after 10.2 billion rupees or 0.04%, this is going to be detrimental to you. I mean, as for us, you do it, it will be good for us because it will be so much contested. But what I am saying is for the national economy. Now, if you are an accountant who is providing services to Maldives, to Dubai, to Singapore, why should you be bringing that money back to Colombo to pay 15% when you're paying zero at that time? We require foreign exchange, not a meager 10 billion, in order to get to that equation process. So, Honorable Minister and the two deputy ministers, I'm sure you all will be looking at it from a different perspective. I am basically telling Honorable Anil Jayanta, Minister, you can add 25 cents of petrol and get that 12 to 15 billion rather than waste your time on this. While discouraging the small end is one thing, but what are the bigger ones? They will ensure the invoicing takes place in a country that the taxes are zero, which I mentioned before in the morning, where you basically have. Now I'll basically table this document. Now you'll have countries that have territorial tax systems. You have countries that have no personal taxes, and you have special residency tax system. Now, if I may go into the countries that have no personal income tax, United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, the Bahamas, Bermuda, Cayman Islands, Monaco, Vanuatu, and Brunei. Now, if you register here, like what the textile industry did when they imposed taxes which was unreasonable, and it was mentioned, don't do this. They basically floated a company there, their parent company is there, they sells invoice goes to that country, and they will only send for the labor requirement to the country here. Then what is your earning? Your earning is going to be 100 rupees, less 99 rupees, profit is 1. But previously, your turnover was 1 billion, the foreign exchange comes to this country. So these are the areas that the practical sense and the impractical utilization of that particular one is going to be what I say is a suicidal tax that is there. So it is theoretical and the practicalness that needs to be rectified. Then the next one is the territorial tax system. Now Singapore has worldwide earnings, which is profits made outside Singapore, 100% tax-free. Now, once again I tell you, you are basically telling this house, port city we don't charge any taxes, but outside the port city you're charging 15%. Now tell me the rationale in this particular basis. In your same, your own tax system which you brought to parliament, you're telling 40 years. I like that. Don't tell that we are opposing. I'm opposing the imposition of the tax. But I'm supporting the zero tax that basically is provided to Port City, because that is what you're going to get all the professionals coming in here. We would love to see the Indians coming into Sri Lanka, utilizing that, pay no taxes, but getting foreign exchange coming to this country. Why is Dubai, for what Dubai is today? Everybody went there, got their dollars coming in, they have more dollars than oil there, and today that's a success story. So that's what we must be doing here. So don't be looking at some white clerk that comes from the IMF here and basically tells us charge 15%, when you can basically get billions of dollars imposing a different tax, getting the revenues that you want. Peter Brewer, the local representative who has finished his career, did a very good job in a difficult circumstance, no question. But it's not individualistic egos that require here. IMF is an institution, they must do what is good for the country and what is good for their institution. When it comes to us, we must negotiate ourselves, not to be imposed by themselves, do what we are saying. You have got to do is what they basically say, do what I say, but don't do what I do. So please ensure, once again, the Prime Minister is here when we are speaking and the Cabinet Ministers are here. I am telling you, this is something which is injurious to the country. Please ensure that you rectify this. Not only lawyers, if lawyers basically give a service to India, now why should you be taxing him for services rendered outside? He has the entrepreneurship to go out and bring something from outside Sri Lanka into this country as dollars. Now, on that particular basis, you say there won't be imposition on the when it comes to the bank. Well and good. Today, any case, it is a system where you register your earned self-declarations by November and you basically got to pay from there onwards. So these are things that are basically going on, Honorable Minister. So all I call upon is, I quote Slascom chairman, Mr. Nishan Mendis, who we laud for doing a fantastic service, saying that Slascom targets 5 billion revenue and basically 1,000 startups by 2030. I'm sure the Deputy Minister here, he is one of the prime movers, and I mean, I'm not IT savvy, but I'm heard to say that you're basically moving things in the right direction. But why don't you tell your colleague that this is a suicidal thing that they're bringing for? You're trying to bring 10 billion, and I'm giving you an example, you can collect 20 billion. All you've got to do is add 25 cents more. Now that oil price has come down, any case, you put 25 cents more, you get at least 17 billion. That's the way you collect revenue. So I am saying, if you want to ensure the younger generation, basically who went astray in the 72s, went astray in the 89, went astray in the 83s, because of the fact that there was no jobs created, because of the economic impact that was there, they looked at other things. And this is the same way when they find that they can't legally get what they earn and enjoy that benefit here, they can adopt to three different things. One is they keep the money outside. Next one is they ensure that they have a dummy company somewhere else and get the money coming in. Third one is, they basically say, go there, they'll go overseas, bring the money and come in. You lose foreign exchange for the travel that you made out of the country. So what are we doing? We are trying to save pennies and lose billions of rupees on the other side. Now, are we saying this just opposing the government? No, Honourable Minister, I'm sure you have more practical knowledge than this. Ensure you step up onto this particular one and ensure that you basically get. Now, Slascom has quoted, I can't quote the date that they have mentioned so. They say that this is an inimical tax that is there on behalf of the industry. They are calling upon the government to relook at it. What will do is, they have once again two things. They'll move from the John Keel building that was there, which they took earlier, they were going to take 20 floors, then they took 10 floors. Now they're going to Port City, and the 10%, 15% you are getting won't be obtained. So what's the fun? That's why I said in the morning, we should be radical in our thinking. We should basically emulate ourselves. We need to export ourselves out of the debt crisis that we are in. We have 100 billion debt, 53% on local debt, and the balance being foreign. Of these are rescheduled, and you know it is coming from 28 and 33. If we don't gear ourselves to ensure that we earn the foreign exchange of 3 billion that we need to pay today till 28, 6 billion from there onward, 9 billion from there onward, you basically will run into a debt crisis. And I'm warning this, because otherwise they will say that as knowledgeable people, we are not advised. Let's work together to solve this problem. I am telling you, think of this in a different way. Now, while looking at the same thing, I am telling you in 2016, when we were discussing the 16th tranche of the IMF, they came with the same imposition. And we told them, I'm sorry, we can't be doing this. There must be a rationality. And that should be sovereignty is in our hands. You can give your idea. We asked, what was the revenue that was required? They mentioned X amount. You can bear testimony with the secretary, Mr. Sirivardhana, that was there, Dr. Samaratunga, who was the secretary then, Mr. Seniratna, who is a DST now, people like this who basically got involved. We basically told them, you give us the idea, we'll get the revenue figure. They got what they wanted, we got what we wanted. They imposed this, we said can't. Then in 2018, Mangala Samaravira, he was the Minister of Finance, they came and put it in. In 6 months, he withdrew it because the inimicalness of this tax. I'm not saying with anything else. Please, I have labored enough on that. Now when it comes to the areas of 45% on betting and gaming, my belief is that you must have a regulatory authority first. And with the regulatory authority, you can basically get these type of things coming in. I mean, you're adding 40 to 45% just because it's a low-hanging fruit. But yet 45% is not the answer. If that is the case, then you can make it 75%. You are basically detracting this from getting it from real sources into spurious sources that is there. So once again, when we are taxing, there must be an equitableness in the taxing, as well as there must be a sustainability. Now you are going on the basis of the gaming and betting, on the basis, these are sin taxes that have been mentioned. Well and good, if it is good for basically collecting revenue, ensure that we get the optimum benefit of that. But if you are only going to get for the sake of imposing that we put 45%, then you might as well put 80% and be morally happy that you have put that figure. Same for tobacco. This company is basically have 85% of their taxes on production going ahead. On the basis of this, the more prices you increase, it goes into the substitute that is there. You have 9 billion sticks of, you can't call it cigarettes itself, but sticks that are there, which is 1.9 billion are the actual cigarettes that are sold by tobacco. 7 billion is BD that is there. I'm sure there are people from Kegal district that basically represent, and you must be having a thriving small industry that is there. What do they do? There is a legal registered BD Suppliers Manufacturers Association, and which is led by Lakshman, I can remember through memory, and the other lot which is spurious, that basically import these leaves from there, not paying any taxes anywhere. They themselves have told them, legalize us so that we can afford to basically pay legally and ensure that we come into the formal system. But that's not being heard by the excise. I don't know why the time is not being given. If this 7 billion BD manufacturers impose a 2 to 3%, They said they have guaranteed 15 billion revenue. Now instead of collecting 10 billion, adding on to these people that are doing this freelancing operation and other things, you might as well impose the two rupees on the BD and collect and tell IMF, we gave you 15 billion for what you wanted 10 billion from us. So these are the areas that you need to have correction, rectification, practical attainment in doing this type of thing. So I basically mention once again, the imposition of the figure is yours. But the practical attainment in trying to get what we think of putting in through that tax is what we are recommending to you. So that's the next one that I've basically got to mention. And I call upon on the other areas is the thing on the senior citizens. You mentioned now this senior citizen thing is compared to what we did in 2015. When we came, we gave the senior citizens a 15% interest. And that 15% interest was when we were trying to drive down the interest rates for lending purposes, because lending should be in the range of a single digit, and we were trying to achieve in the range of 8 to 10%. And so we had a dichotomy in how to reduce the rate and also increase the saving rate for the senior citizens. So we did two things. We had an imposition from the finance ministry. We gave into the banks, whoever had interest rate of 15% given, capped at 1.5 billion and ensured that the difference, which I still remember was about 20 billion. So here, now when you ask, you are increasing it to 3%, when the promise was 15%, 15 in total, the difference that is there is the senior citizen, when he goes into the 1,000 branches that Honourable Minister mentioned, he has basically got to get his own affidavit being given. Now, if that is accepted, well and good. But why don't you go on the basis of these POS machines that are there, the point of sale, your president comes and speaks on that. It's a good thing, the right thing. Ensure that you invest through money on these particular things. Then it's online. When you have online, you have no problem whether it's an affidavit that needs to be given or the actual implementation of this. Now, here, how do you know whether it is 1.5 million that is there from the one particular person and senior citizen? And what if it's 58 is one person? I'm sorry, 60 is the husband and 58 is wife, so you won't get that two different things. Then how does that treatment take place? So I think these are much more practically you should attain to this. You should look at across the board, because the materialness must be looked at. When you're imposing a figure, the administration cost will be far greater than the actual receipt of the revenue of that. Now this doesn't seem to be followed at this particular moment. So all I could basically say is ensure that we have a system where collecting revenue is a must. We are targeted 15% of the GDP, well and good. Without running after the pennies, run after the dollars and the millions of rupees that are there. You have got to ensure the economy, instead of contracting, we have got to expand it. And expansion means you have got to ensure that the economy is developed in all areas. This particular one, at the moment, if you have such things that happen, you will see a downward trend instead of the upward swing that is required. So this particular reason, once again, while mentioning the export services, please relook at it and ensure that we take it to a correct level. Give an enthusiasm to the younger generation. IT is an area which is a thrust industry that is being shaken. You are basically, it was mentioned by the president here that we want to create 2 billion jobs, I think, in the IT sector was what the president mentioned. Ensure that these are done by giving them this area of freedom to operate. Why I say not to not tax? By putting that, you won't be able to get the tax. That's the difference that is there. So instead of discouraging, encourage them and mentor motivational thing and ensure that we take this better tomorrow. So, Honourable Deputy Speaker, all I could basically say is that let's bring some sense of rationality in, let's bring some logic in, and let's bring some sanity into this particular moment where today there is no cash flow in the country. You all are basically saying on this anti-inflationary approach where you're sucking out all the monies that are there, that doesn't help you to get the economy moving. I'm saying this because we need to have 5 trillion at the end of this year. Already 3 months have gone. So if you are going to get 5 trillion coming in, the expansion has to have at least 4 to 5% growth. In order to have growth, you have got to have investments. In order to have investments, you must have lower lending rates that are there. That's where the small and the medium get moving. That is why I am so conscious of this, because we can't afford to have any more insurrections or civil disturbances owing to the fact that we have not guided the economy in the manner professionally attributed to all of us to deliver at this moment. Thank you very much.